I'm going to invite you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 14. We'll start in Proverbs chapter 14 this morning. So old Herman was on his way to Scott's Bluff. He's going to be traveling the four lane here on 385 south of town. And his wife, Ethel, always had the police scanner on to know what was going on. And all of a sudden, Herman's phone rang and she said, "Herman, you have got to be careful. They just reported there's somebody down there on 385 going the wrong way in the four-way. Please be careful." He said, "It's not just one car. There's dozens of them." That'll settle in at nap time here this afternoon. Yeah. You ever turn down a wrong way? Wrong way down a one way? There's any number of things can happen. All of our one ways here still get me sometimes. And a lot of times there's nobody around. It's nothing but a little bit of embarrassment. But stuff can happen. There's implications of going the wrong way down a one way. But what a lot of people don't understand is that as we travel through life, there is a right way and there's a wrong way. There are things that lead to life. There are things that lead to death. And as we look at the scripture this morning and talk about it, we're going to be thinking about right way, wrong way. Those decisions that we make every single day that affect multiple things. Sometimes we have no idea what the implications of our decisions might be. Throughout Proverbs, Solomon has been counseling his son to make the right choice, to make the right decisions. And by implication now, his voice echoes through the centuries and talks to humanity today. There are choices that we make, and there are consequences for those choices. Make the right choice. A lot of times in Proverbs, Solomon would lay out the two scenarios. If you do this, you can expect this kind of result. But if you do this, then you can expect another kind of result altogether. Solomon's problem always was that he didn't follow his own advice. We know that. But the wisdom that he gave was sound. It was godly, and it is relevant for us today. We're going to wrap up our study in Proverbs this morning. This is now week 33. In all honesty, we could go forever. The Proverbs do not end. And then we could start over again because it's just this practical, gritty wisdom. But this morning, as we conclude this, I'm going to kind of review where we have been, look at some of the issues that were brought up that we considered in detail. But just as a reminder, pick the right path. Pick the right path. There are blessings that God has for us if we'll go His way, but there are consequences of the choices that we make. And nowhere does that become more clear than the verse that we're going to start with this morning, and that's chapter 14 and verse 12, which says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." Let's pray as we get into this. Lord God, I thank you that you recorded for us, you saw fit that these nuggets of wisdom have been restored, preserved, I should say, for us. And thank you for the relevance to our everyday life as we live in the year 2026. And now I pray this morning you would cement in our hearts the dire importance of going your way, not ours. not that way that seems right, but the way that is right according to you. And so I commit our time to you. I ask that you would direct our thoughts, open our hearts and minds to your truths, I pray. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So even as we consider this, chapter 14, verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a person. It tells us right off the bat that there are choices that we make that are going to have consequences. All as we go through life, this is really the essence of life. I've got a choice to make. Am I going to follow God in it? Am I going to go my own way? Am I going to choose the path of life? Am I going to choose the path of death? We see this lived out in human life every single day, and it comes to our attention by way of media. People doing what seems right to them. This tour season starting up now. Every year out in Yellowstone Park, there will be those who feel that it's the right thing to do to get off the path and try to get down to those boiling hot springs. Some will get burned. Some have fallen in, never to be seen again. It was a way that seemed right, but the end was the way of death. In the same parks, or up in the Black Hills, we'll see people that it seems right, try to take a selfie with a buffalo or with an elk or some other wild creature. They might get away unscathed. They might get hurt. They might get hurt badly. Recently, there was an individual that it seemed right to them to walk out onto the runway of Denver Airport in front of an airplane. It was a way that led to death. Somebody thought it was the right thing to do to call in a bomb threat to our school recently. And though no one was hurt that I know of, still the stress and the commotion, the problems that were caused by it. People are constantly trying to cover up their problems, their stresses, the situations in life by medicating themselves and abusing alcohol or drugs. It's just all of these choices that are made every single day. There is a way that seems right to a person. And the obviousness from this is that it's not God's way. It's an idea that we've come up with. It's what has made sense to us in our mind and something that we feel is the right thing to do, but the end is the way of death. And Solomon's message to his son and to us has always been, choose life. You've got these choices ahead of you. Choose life. And I want to review some of the things that we have looked at over these past number of weeks. A reminder to choose life in these different matters. And we're going to be flipping through Proverbs, and I would encourage you to stay with me as best as you can so that you have a chance to look with your own eyes and see the truths that are there. We'll start with choosing life over death in the matters of morality. And multiple times, Solomon cautioned his son about these kinds of things. Multiple times. Now, in chapter 2, one of those examples, he's been talking about listening to my wisdom. Listen to what I have to say. Choose the way of wisdom. And in verse 16, he says, if you do that, you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth, who forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. He draws out this just dark, dark result of going down a way of immorality. We live in such a loose and permissive society, but God's word has always been the same, and it has always been true. Choose life. And Solomon would tell his son, listen, son, pick a good woman and stick with her. Now, Solomon didn't follow his own advice, but his counsel was solid. Pick a good woman and stay with her. Don't let your eyes wander. Don't let your mind wander. Don't be drawn away into the looseness and permissiveness of your society. Don't let this adulterous woman that he's talking about here draw you away from your love. And it's gender specific as we read it, but it's not gender specific in its application. This is for all of us. Don't let your eyes go there. Don't let your mind go there. Don't be drawn away. Pick purity. Pick God's way. These matters of morality. Now, the darkness of what Solomon describes, and nobody comes back from it. Thankfully, that's not 100% the case. But there's always a price to pay. There's always consequences. Choose life in matters of morality. Choose life in matters of worldview. Chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. We've looked at this one several times in this study. But it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. And this is just a world view. This is an approach to life. Trust in the Lord, son. Don't live as is natural, what seems right in your own eyes, to say, I've got this. I can handle this. I can do this. No, you can't. Look to the one who sees it from start to finish. Look to the one who has made it very, very clear what it means to live the path of life and purpose and fulfillment and hope. Choose his way. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't do what seems right, but in every single way acknowledge him, and he will straighten out your path. We can never come to the place of saying, I've got this. I can do this. I can handle this. We always need to live as the youngest children do before they reach those points of independence where their arms are up. I need you. We need him constantly. And so the challenge is, in all of your worldview, choose life. There's only one who will direct you in the right way, and that's our Heavenly Father. Choose life in matters of money. Now, we spent 3 weeks talking about this. We won't belabor the point. But in chapter 3, verse 10, just as a reminder, or chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. This will not seem right. This is not the way that will seem right to a man, but it is right to put him first, to honor him with everything that he has entrusted to us, and then you'll have what you need. It's so backwards to human thinking. It can't work that way, says the human mind, but it does. Honor the Lord with everything that he has entrusted to you. Choose life in matters of money. Choose life in matters of integrity. Chapter 11 and verse 3. He writes, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. And integrity is one of those things. A lot of times we automatically think of honesty, and that is a critical part of it. But the word integrity actually speaks of wholeness, of completeness. And so in matters of character, the admonition is be whole, be complete. Don't have these massive gaps or lapses in character, where some of the time you live as God has said, but then there's these large, long periods of time when we're doing what seems right to us. And he says the integrity of the upright will guide them. That wholeness guides them. When we are determined to be people of integrity, so many of our decisions are already made. We don't have to wonder at different times when we're with a certain group of people or a temptation comes to do something that's immoral or dishonest or against the law. We don't have to even think about it. The decision has already been made. I'm going to do what's right. Now, I think it was Mark Twain that said, if you tell the truth, you never have to remember what you said. And that's just true. The integrity of the upright guides them. So in matters of integrity, choose life. Choose life in matters of work. Chapter 13. Throughout this, and while we looked at this in particular, industry is always honored. But in chapter 13, verse 4, one of those examples, he says, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. There's never a condoning of workaholism or, you know, just being owned by that, never taking any leisure time. But he's always speaking against being lazy. We are to be assets to our society, assets to our community. We are to be people who are productive. And as long as God gives us the health to do it, to be productive, and then you'll have what you need. We can provide for ourselves. We can provide for our families. And as we looked at this when we were studying that in particular, one of the things that comes out is so that we can help others. And that's one of the dominant things. So we're able to help other people with legitimate needs that they have. And it can be life-giving. So in matters of work, choose life. In matters of associations, choose life. And this was a very common theme as Solomon was cautioning his son. In chapter 13, in verse 20, one of those examples says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. And so he's always warning his son, be careful of your associations. Be careful of those that you are spending significant amounts of time with. Now listen, we're to be friendly to everyone. But those that are allowed close, that actually influence us, that influence our decisions, that really have a place in our heart, you've got to be very, very careful. He cautions us at times, be careful about the angry person. You can very well learn to become an angry person as well. Again, multiple places. Warns about those who are immoral, those who are cruel, who have that mean streak. There's just different kinds of qualities here that we are to run towards, but other qualities that we are to avoid. And so be careful with your associations. Choose life. Choose life in matters of speech. Chapter 18, verse 21. We've looked at this verse a few times, but it's so powerful. Chapter 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruits. Death and life. Your words can bring life, your words can destroy. In matters of speech, choose life. There was this child's rhyme when I was growing up. I don't know if they recite it anymore or not, but sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. Baloney. Biggest lie, one of the biggest lies that's ever been told. Of course words hurt. Words can destroy. And so we have a chance as we're speaking to people, even if we have to correct people, we can do it such a way as that it brings life. Or we can tear down and destroy and hurt and maim with our words. So in matters of speech, he says, choose life. In matters of reputation, choose life. Chapter 22 and verse 1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. And it's not always a choice between the two, but the message has always been, if you have to choose, if you have to choose between something material and something that God has pointed out as an excellent quality, always go God's way, always. And in this matter of reputation, if there had to be a choice made, don't cheat so you can get more stuff. Choose reputation. Choose a good name. It's so hard to repair a damaged reputation. Not impossible, but it is so hard. We become known. And Scripture says even a child is known by its doings. So we get a reputation by the way that we live and the things that we do. So choose a good name. That will benefit in so many different arenas of life. Some of you know the name Gaither in a certain genre of music. They've been well known for decades. But Bill Gaither had told the story of when he and his wife were first married, looking for a place to call home, a place to raise a family. There was a piece of property that they really, really would like to have. But people always warned him, the landowner, he won't sell it. He'll never sell it. But this man was a banker, and Bill Gaither went to him on several occasions asking if they could buy that piece of property. And the answer was always no. He kept on, and finally one day this banker says, what'd you say your name was? Well, I'm Bill Gaither. Are you any relation to Grover Gaither? Well, yeah, he's my grandpa. He said, Grover Gaither was the most honest man I have ever met. Let me think about this. And a short time later, he contacted Bill Gaither, said, I'll give you this property. He gave him a very generous price on it because Grover Gaither was an honest man. He had chosen a good reputation. Choose life in matters of reputation. Choose life in matters of consistency. Chapter 25. Several of these things overlap, certainly. This has a lot to do with reputation as well. But chapter 25, verse 26. Like a muddied spring or a polluted fountain is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. A righteous man who gives way before the wicked. So the one who has this lapse where they step backwards in their matters of integrity or reputation or in morally or whatever. He says when the righteous person does that, it's like a spring of water that is supposed to be life-giving, but then it gets polluted to where it's of no value. He says it's like that when we lose our consistency, when we lose our reputation. So be very, very careful. Now, if someone wants to find something to accuse us of, they will. Nobody's perfect. Nobody ever does this perfectly. But if we have a consistent life that we are striving, following God in the ways that He has instructed us to go, the larger will overwhelm the little. You know, you can outlive that if your life has been one of consistency. And some people will find, I mean, they'll look and they'll find something, because none of us are perfect. If they have to lie about it, they will. But in matters of consistency, try to be that person that every day, not a person that says one thing and does another, not a person that can't be counted on, but a person that is just steady and consistent. You know, in our day and age, we make such a big deal about being edgy and creative and all these kinds of things. And the older I get, I think, you know, speed is overrated. Just be steady. Let's just be consistent. And consistency, in matters of consistency, choose life. And then lastly, I want to end with this. In matters of eternity, choose life. Go back to chapter 14, where we started here. And in chapter 14, again, verse 12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. And then he concludes this, or comes to the towards the end of this chapter. Chapter 14, verse 32, says, the wicked is overthrown through his evil doing, but the righteous finds refuge in his death, even in his death. And so there's this contrast that is made. Humanity is really very simple. You know, we overcomplicate things, but humanity is really very simple. There are two classes of people, two kinds of people. There are those who the Bible describes as wicked. They've gone the way of sin. They've gone the way of flesh. They have lived in that way that seems right to them, humanly speaking. And then there are those who are righteous, those who have followed God's ways, who have done things that He has said, that have sought His holiness, His purity, His life. And those are the two ways that the unrighteous here, the wicked, is overthrown, he says, because of his evil doing. But even at death, the righteous finds refuge. And this is a matter of eternity. He's talking about coming to that point where the last breath is drawn, where the last beat of the heart, where life leaves a body, And then eternity begins. In matters of eternity, choose life. He says there's wickedness or there's righteousness. And whichever one we are is what determines our eternal destiny. Whether we can find refuge or we find eternal destruction. Now, Solomon didn't know about Jesus Christ back then. They knew about a promise of a coming Redeemer, the one who would be the Messiah. They had those promises. And even from the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve first chose to sin against God, there was that promise of one that would come who would bring hope, who would bring salvation. So they had that promise, but they didn't know all that was going to come, that several hundred years later, God would send His Son into this world. And Jesus would live a perfect life. And then He would be taken to the cross. He would be nailed to the cross. And there, as the scripture says, God would lay on Him the sins of us all. Every sin that had ever been committed by you, by me, by all of humanity was laid on him. And when he had sufficiently paid for that, he said, it's finished, it's done. I have paid the complete price for all of humanity's sin. And now there's actually an opportunity to be righteous, right in the sight of God. The writers of the New Testament would have the privilege then of explaining this more to us. And John was one of those, he was passionate about it. But even as he started his gospel in chapter 1, John said, to as many as received him, he gave the right to be called children of God. Later, he would write, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Paul would add through his many writings as well, but like, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And this is the privilege. This is what Solomon was writing about, even though he didn't know the detail yet. That God was going to make it sufficient so that we could find refuge even in our death. When life ends here, eternity begins in his presence if we have followed what he has said. Now, there's no precise formula, no specific words that have to be used. Those verses that I quoted should bring that out. But here's the reality that God offers to us life. And in the matter of eternity, we better choose life. So let me ask you this morning, are you 100% certain that if your life ended today, that you would find refuge, that you'd go to heaven to be with God? Are you 100% certain of that? That's what he wants for us. John said, these things are written, all of this is written so that we might know that we have eternal life. Are you 100% certain of that? And if you stood before God and he for some reason asked you, why should I let you into heaven? Would you be able to say, because your son, Jesus Christ, his blood cleansed me of all my sin? Can you say that? If you would have to say, no, I can't, that can change for you in this very second. In this very moment, you can say to him, Lord Jesus, I need you. I trust you. I know what you did was for me, and so I believe on you. I give you my life. And at that moment, he writes your name in his book, and you are his, and you will find refuge, even in your death. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, why wait? Why wait any longer? The matters of eternity, you must choose life. So with the exception of that last one, all of these other things that we talked about this morning are things that we'll never have completely whipped. We have these wild, unbroken hearts that every day are wanting to assert their independence. And so we've got to make choices every single day to consciously choose God's way. It is the road less traveled, but always, always take the road less traveled, because it's the road that leads to life. Let's bow together. Oh, Father, once again, I thank you that you've given us a refuge. That when life here is no more, eternity with you begins. Thank you for the hope and the peace that provides for us. Thank you for the grace that you have shown us. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you faithfully show us the way that we should go. And Lord, though there's no way we remember the many different proverbs we looked at, I pray that you would just refresh our soul with your wisdom and help us walk in your way, the way of life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.